everybody. We're excited because today is our first Mailbag Monday podcast. We're going to keep doing this every Monday as long as we keep getting your questions. We've asked you to get onto Facebook and Instagram to submit your questions. And so today is our very first day. So let's go ahead and jump in, look at some of the questions that we've gotten. Okay, one of our first questions today is, how do you remain being a great father to your kids after a divorce where you only get to see your kids every other weekend? Well, we've had many people go through that. A lot of questions about that today. We live in more of a blended family culture than we've ever done before. And so what you have to do, number one, what the law allows you to do. And first thing I always tell parents, quit trying to play favorites. Because, you know, your kids are coming back from spending the weekend someplace else. Say, well, we got to do this over here. Or we got to do that. I said, well, we're not doing that at our house. We don't do that here. Well, they let me do it. You don't want to get into a competition with a former spouse trying to play Santa Claus to your children. That's not going to work because they're going to watch you. They're going to grow up. Your children are not, I don't care how old your children are, they're not going to stay this age forever. They're not going to stay five. One day they'll be 15. One day they'll be 25. And they're going to realize which parent really did what was right. Or which parent just let them get away with anything they wanted to do. And you know, anybody that's been in athletics, been in a career, you like the people that set the highest standard. You want to be around the people that set the highest standard, not the people that get away with everything. You know, whether it's having friends in school or teachers or coaches or bosses, you want somebody that sets a high standard. So we've got to do that as a parent. What we want to do is, listen, I don't know what you get to do over there. I'm not in charge of you over there. But when you come back to this house, here's what we do here. Here's what we can do. Here's what we can't do. I want you to live a long, profitable, successful life. And we're training you to do that. So when you come to my house, that's how we're going to do it. And if you do that, I promise you, your life's going to go a whole lot better. Next question we've got here is, what do you do when a can of green beans goes flying by your head when you're talking to your bride? I think I know who sent this in. Well, if you have a can of green beans come by your head, I recommend getting a can, open them up, put a pan on the stove and cook something. And don't say anything else to your bride. You know, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Sometimes all fights, I used to tell couples, all fights start with words. All marriages start with words. All divorces start with words. Everything starts with words. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So make sure when you say something, speak slow, speak soft. Try to have a conclusion in mind. You're not trying to win an argument. You're trying to solve a problem. So watch how you talk to one another. There's rules about what you can and can't say. A marriage license is not a permission slip to say anything you want to your bride. You got, there are rules what you can and can't say, even in the body of Christ. Let your yes be yes, your no be no, all else precede the evil one. So learn how to talk real nice and listen more than you talk. Great question. Our next question we got was, do you have any advice about setting up boundaries for technology use in the home, like cell phone, television, internet, specifically about protecting your marriage and your kids? Well, yes, I do. We learned this mostly the hard way. We had six children, and the first two were sort of like the guinea pigs. We sort of learned what you can and cannot do. I wanted my home to be a fun place. I used to think I'd really like my home to be like a state park. I want you to want to get out of school. I want you to want to come to my home. I want my home to be a home of laughter and a home of joy and a home of peace, protection. I don't want all screaming and yelling and everybody go to your room, you go to your room. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. So we had to set up some boundaries. So I wanted my home to be a fun place, but there were certain rules about technology. For example, at nighttime, nobody could take their cell phone to their bedroom. All cell phones had to stay on the kitchen counter. Television, we controlled everything on the TV. As a matter of fact, we have our own video system. I collected videos for years, good movies. All the movies in our video library all ended good. The good guy wins on every movie. We didn't watch a movie where the bad guy won because, according to the Bible, the good guy wins at the end. And so I wanted to watch good movies. Same thing about internet. We had a computer. We had great computers and hooked up the internet, but we didn't have it in a private room. Actually, we had it set up in our dining room where everybody could see. You can't go on that internet without somebody walking behind you saying where you're going. Plus, we had the protection set up on it. We wanted to be able to use internet. It's a great tool. It's like a dictionary, you know. It's like the English language. You need to know how to use these things. So I want you to be able to know how to use the internet. But we did have blocks on certain places you could and could not go. And so we used to set up just guidelines, okay? When you go to bed, you know, I used to tell the kids, God designed the average human to sleep 8 hours a night. 8 hours a night. You got 24 hours a day. God designed humans to sleep one third of the life. So you need to go to bed and go to sleep and not step all night watching TV, listen to some kind of music, talking on your cell phone. You know, sun goes down, you need to go to sleep. Sun comes up, you need to get up. Try to keep it real simple. So I believe in setting boundaries because I wanted my kids to have a good life, a fun time. I want you to enjoy life, but I know where the devil tries to get in. And so the devil's good with words. You know, by the way, the devil, he's a good looking creature. He doesn't have horns or a pitchfork. So the devil shows up sounding good, looking good, smelling good, but the end there is death, man. Sin's got death attached to it. So we set up boundaries. I want you to watch what you feed on, what you watch, what you listen to, what you look at. And there's thousands of things that you can be excited about watching and learning and listening to, being entertained by. I mean, we had movie night every Friday night in my house. We watched two great movies. You know, they always ended good. I made sure that I watched a lot of Western movies when I was a kid growing up. So we had a lot of great Western movies that we would watch as a family. Popcorn, invite people over. We'd have a big fire pit out in the yard. We'd roast marshmallows and hot dogs, and we'd watch a great movie. Kids would come over, spend the night, had a fun time. But we didn't allow stupid, and you have to set up boundaries for stupid because stupid will try it again. So do something. Set up boundaries, what you're going to do with your cell phone, the TV, the internet. Just set boundaries up. That's why every country's got a boundary. Interstate's got speed limit signs. There's rules for living a good quality life. We need to follow them. Next question we got is, how do I deal with worry and anxiety about my children's future? Well, I see this two different ways. Number one, you know, it could be a parent worried about their children's future, or it could be the child worried about the children's future. But the answer is the same for both of them. You know, the Bible talks about think on these things. Whatever is lovely, just, praiseworthy, of a good report, think on these things. Don't think about the other things. The other things are trying to exalt themselves against the knowledge of what God's already said. So that's why a believer is supposed to have the Bible. You're supposed to meditate in the Word day and night. Then you'll prosper and have good success. 3 John 2. Joshua 1:8 says, if you meditate in the Word day and night, you'll prosper, have good success. Same thing in Psalms 1:1-3. God promises good success. So what are you worried about? Failing? Well, you're going to fall on your face. The Bible says the righteous fall 7 times a day, but they get back up. We're not the perfect people. We are the getting back up people. So I tell my kids, you're going to mess up. You're not going to hit a home run every time. You know, I used to joke with my kids because all my kids played sports. I said, you know, if you bat 333, they're going to put you in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Well, how do you make the Baseball Hall of Fame? Well, you strike out 2/3 of the time. That's how you make the Hall of Fame. You're not going to hit a home run every time. You're not going to get on base every time. You're not going to make an A every time. You're not going to make 100 on the test every time. What you are doing is learning. You got to learn how to get back up, do it better the next time. You know, it's got repent, redo, rethink. It's almost like what Revelation taught about the church. It said, you need to rethink this thing. So I tell kids, listen, we're going to have you think about this. So it started just at home. You know, what books are you reading? What magazines are you reading? What movies are you watching? What music are you listening to? So we weren't a control freak, but I did set up standards. Listen, we don't listen to that. We don't watch that. You know, I used to have a thing where the kids would almost get tickled. I said, all the movies that we used to watch, and I had my own video library back when videos were, you know, still a thing, and said every movie that we had in our house we watched ended good. Well, we didn't watch any movies that ended bad. It all ended good. I said, why do you do that, Dad? Well, because I read the Bible several times, Revelation, the good guy wins. It's right at the end. We do win. So I want you to think on what's good. So is this going to help you? Is this going to mess you up? Is this going to give you faith? Is this going to steal your faith? You know, what are you feeding on? So as a parent, we try to set up, what are you thinking about? Because worry and anxiety comes from not trusting God. Worry and anxiety comes from not believing what God said. Well, are we going to make it? Well, God said you'd make it. God promised that he'd order your steps, direct your paths, guide you all through, show you things to come. The Bible says God said he'll talk to you when you go to sleep at night, when you get up in the morning, and you walk during the day. God said he will never leave you nor forsake you. And God's good all the time. So whatever your future holds, it's going to turn out good. There are tests and trials. Everybody goes through tests and trials. That's why you love reading the Word of God. You know, the children of Israel left Egypt and went to the Promised Land, but God tested them 10 different times. He didn't tempt them, but he did test them. What he's trying to do is get them to use their faith and believe God. No water, bitter water, no food. He's trying to get them to use their faith. Without faith, you don't please God. Without faith, you can't whip the devil. What is faith? Well, it's just believing what God said. because everybody's born into a world that's kind of messed up. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan is the god of this planet. John 10:10, he steals, kills, destroys. So we say, man, this is a bad time to be alive. No, it's the greatest time of human history to be alive. Greatest time to have kids, to get married, to start a business. God is still moving like a freight train on this planet. The thing is, what are you watching? Are you watching the good? Or are you watching the bad? Are you listening to the good? Or are you listening to the bad? Well, you're just living in la la land. No, I'm living in the real world. I'm living what God said. And the Bible says that we were called to be sheep. We're called to be light and salt. What are you going to do? Well, everywhere I go, I'm trying to leave it better than I find it. School, my classroom, my job, my community. I'm trying to leave my neighborhood, my neighbor. I'm trying to leave everything better than I find it. That's what Jesus did. So the worry and anxiety thing is just coming because you're thinking about the wrong thing. So what do you need to do? Start thinking about the Word of God. So I told my kids, listen, guys, to keep this real simple. Just read a proverb a day. Just read one verse of proverb a day. That's more than most people are. If you'll read the Word of God, just a proverb a day or a psalm one, just once a day, that maybe takes you 60 seconds to do that. You got 24 hours. Can you give God 60 seconds? Well, if you read some scripture, God said the Spirit of God will bring that to your remembrance. So whenever he knows what's coming up today, whatever it is, God's word is going to be your answer. God will work it out to your good. He'll work all things out to your good. So it's a promise. So I wanted my kids to know the word of God to replace the worry and anxiety. Quit worrying about the future. God has you in his hands. It's going to be really good. That's just a great word. Next question we've got is, how can my spouse and I rekindle the flame after it seems to be lost? Well, you know, they made movies about this years ago. You know, the 7-year itch, the 3-year, you know, roadblock, you know, because they say, you know, love is a 6-syllable word. It's a hormone. And that's what happens, you know, about a year and a half into every marriage, all of a sudden something happens. Well, I thought we were in love. I thought you loved me. I thought you loved me. Well, it's sort of a hormone. God sort of gives you a jump start because what it is, love is the most expensive 4-letter word in the universe. You tell somebody I love you, you need to get out your checkbook, your 401k, your rod reel, your bass boat, your hunting dog, your pickup truck, and pile that on the table. And next time you say that to your spouse, look up and say, hey, and then shove all that at them. I love you, because if love's not costing you something, it's not love. And love's what you do for somebody. It's not what you feel. Well, you ought to know I love you. I pay the bills, don't I? Well, that doesn't mean love. And so what happens is a lot of the marriages start going south. Well, I said in Revelation 2:4, God's talking to the church at Ephesus. He said, listen, you got a problem here. You have fallen out of love with me. They said, what? Well, I'm real proud of it, because he's talking about all the things he's proud of. Man, you've done this. You've given. You've helped the poor. I'm really proud of you. But I have this something against you. And they said, what? I thought you were bragging to us. I am in Revelation. He said, I'm bragging to you, but I do have one thing against you. Well, what is that? You've fallen out of love. God said that. God said to the church, you have fallen out of love. What? Yeah, you've fallen out of love. You know, used to, when we first met, you hung out with me all the time. You wanted to be around me all the time. You wanted to talk to me and sing to me. You wanted to hold hands and fall asleep on the head of my shoulder. You couldn't stand to be away from me. But all of a sudden, we got married and we got bills to pay and things to do and started dropping babies like rainwater out of heaven. We got busy. And so we stopped doing what love does. So people say, how do I rekindle a flame after it seems to be lost? Well, it's still there. And so God told the church at Ephesus, you need to remember from whence you fell. What? They said, what? Remember what it was like when you first fell in love. Do you remember that? Oh, yeah, man. God, we were in love when we first met. We were. Well, you need to think about that. You need to remember what it was like. Then you need to repent that you fell out of love. It's like you need to apologize to one another. Hey, honey, I'm sorry. Man, I have not acted very nice lately. I've not done very many loving things. I mean, I paid the bills and made sure the door was locked and the kids' teeth weren't crooked and we got braces on their teeth. But I've stopped spending time with you. He said, you need to remember, repent, and redo what you did in the beginning. So I tell couples all the time, well, you've not lost anything. You need to start redoing what you did when you were in love. And I had one couple, I remember I had one time, and they thought they'd made a mistake. Well, we just got married on the rebound, too late, too early, and whatever. I said, no, you're still in love. You're meant to be together. You just need to redo what you did in the beginning. What'd you do? Well, we used to go for coffee, and we used to just go out and walk around the neighborhood and hold hands, and we'd maybe go for a little lunch. I said, well, why don't you start dating again? You need to date your spouse. And I remember when I first was learning this myself, about 12 years into my marriage, man, and boy, we've already had 6 kids, and man, it's like, whoa, it got busy. I thought, you know, I need to learn how to do that. So I remember one day I went and made a cup of coffee and some hot tea for my wife. I said, honey, come here. And it was a busy summer. Everybody's home for the summer. I said, come here. What are you doing? We're going on a date. So we can't do that right now. Yeah, we can. We went out on the front porch. I have two big porches off my house. We're going to have on the porch. You don't have to get dressed up. You don't need any makeup. I told the kids, Mom and I are going out on the porch. We're going to date for 30 minutes. Do not come out here. Do not come out here unless I need to call 911. And so we went out on the porch, and we just sat, and we had rocking chairs, and our house sits kind of on a little hill. And so I said, here's your hot tea, and I got me hot coffee. And she just giggled. I said, what are you doing? We're just dating. Let's go on a date. And for 30 minutes, we just rocked in that chair, and I drank my coffee. She drank her hot tea. We didn't say a word. We just kept rocking. I thought, man, this is a nice porch. We ought to come here and sit more often. Man, it sure is a nice day. We had bird feeders with hummingbirds coming to feed right around the porch. Man, I've never seen so many hummingbirds. Well, I hadn't sat on my porch, you know. And so all of a sudden, after 30 minutes, we looked at each other. And she said, you know, we need to do this again. I said, yes, we do. I remember the next day, for 30 minutes, we went on a date again, right out on the front porch. What'd you do? A cup of coffee and a cup of hot tea. It wasn't expensive. It wasn't elaborate. But we had to start where we were. Now, eventually, we started dating once a week. We'd go out on a date. Tell the kids, hey, babysitter tonight, Mom and I are going on a date. Where are you going? Well, we might be going down here to Starbucks to have a coffee. Might be going to a really nice Italian restaurant, but we're going out. It's Mom and I. It's Mom and I are first. You're second. You know, you're second on the food chain. We're first. So we had to put time back into that relationship. So you can rekindle the flame by just redoing what you did in the beginning, just like God told the church at Ephesus. You need to remember. You need to repent. You need to redo. It does work, guys. It really does. All right, guys, that's our last question for the week. Don't forget, every Monday we'll be answering questions on the podcast, so make sure to get those questions in. Remember that you can direct message us on Facebook. If you don't want to let everybody know who you are, thanks to everybody for the great questions. Make sure to tell your friends about the podcast so they can get blessed too. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll be right here. We love you guys. God bless.